Tosis. We saw a Gemara in Daf Mem Vav on the base where the Gemara said, Lehechan hu chozer, where does he go back to? So the question was, what exactly is being referred to? Where does he go back? Where does who go back to? So if you remember, Rashi said, have a look at Rashi, and then we'll see Tosis. Rashi's on the fourth narrow line. Rashi says, Lehechan hu chozer. Mishamit staref le zimun. Somebody was joining a zimun. Va'amr le'el alibud rav sheshes birkas zimun ad hazon. According to rav sheshes, it's till hazon. What does that mean? V'hutzrach ze liyos mafsik achilosoi. This particular individual had to interrupt his eating. Why did he have to interrupt his eating? Because there's two people out of three who have already finished. They are indeed ready to bench. He had to interrupt his benching. Ad sheyig moir hamavorech birkas hazon. So he puts his sandwich down. He listens to the mavorech. How much does he have to listen to? So Rav Sheshes' opinion was you have to listen not just to Rabbi Sain Mavorech, but even the first bracha of hazon. Then the chozar zeh shehifsik l'shnayim. Then the one who had to stop in favor of the two goes back to eat the gomar sudosa and he completes his lunch. So now the question is, Lehechan hu chozer? Where does he go back to? Lehechan hu chozer levorech la'achar shigmar sudosa. After he's finished eating, because at the time he hadn't yet completed his meal, he now has. So where does he rejoin? Does he rejoin from the beginning? Or does he rejoin Lemokim Shaposak, which means from Hazon onwards, meaning Noida Lachal? That's the question. So we saw two opinions in the Gemara, and the Gemara said the halacha is Lemokim Shaposak, which therefore means the way Rashi is learning the Gemara, he would have to rejoin not from the beginning of benching, but rather from Noida Lachal and onwards, which of course immediately raises an enormous problem. And this is what Tosis will point out. Remember at the time when he heard Hazon first time round, he hadn't yet finished eating. He then continued, so even if you're going to tell me that when the person, the Mezamein said Hazon, that he was might see him as well, that's all fine and well with regard to what he had eaten until that point. But how can that possibly take effect from anything he ate afterwards? At the time, he hadn't finished his Suda. He then resumes his eating and finishes his Suda. So how can he possibly now begin benching from Neida L'cha? What happened to the remainder of his sandwich, which L'cha is also Mechayev benching, a complete benching, including Hazon? This is the question that Tosis will ask. So have a look at Tosis on the second Tosis on the Amud, Lehechan hu chayzer. Pirush Rashi. Rashi explains the koi that this is referring to, le'echod the posik l'shnayim. It's referring to one who has stopped for two. Remember, that was always the rule. If you have three people, some of whom are finished, some of them not, so the majority prevail. So if one person has not finished his meal, then he has to stop for the two. Umamtin la'achirim, he's going to have to wait while the others bench ad hazon veichon choizer la'achas sudase. So the way Rashi learns the Gemara is, the Gemara is questioning, where will he resume benching after he finally finishes his meal? Rabbonon omri lemokim sheposak vehilchasa lemokim sheposak. Although it's a machlokes in the Gemara, this is the opinion of the Rabbonon. This is the way we paskin la'alocha, that he will resume benching, not from the beginning, but rather lemokim sheposak, which means the place that he stopped, which is the end of Hazon. Says Tosfos v'teima. This is a huge wonder. This is a big, big kasha. The imkain. If so, what does that mean? If so, if we're going to learn the sugya like Rashi, heichi hilchasa. How on earth can that be the halacha lemokim sheposak? How does that make any sense for him to now begin benching or resume benching from the place that he left off, Noida Lecha, the second bracha of benching, Acharei She'ochal Acharkach, seeing as he ate afterwards as well. If he wouldn't have eaten anything new, then I understand. He's had no further food that would require Birkas HaMazon. So then I'd understand. So you just resume where you left off first time round. No problem with that whatsoever. But if after having heard the mezamin, he then continued his lunch, so the remainder of his suda did not get a full benching. He's going to miss out the bracha of Hazan. Now you'll remember, everybody, from Omad Aleph, this is Tosus's long-standing machloikas with Rashi. Can there possibly exist any case in which you don't say Hazan? And Tosus was having none of it. Says Tosus once again, Pshita de Yachzair. It's surely poshut that you'd have to go Afilu lehazon, even to the bracha of Hazan. Why? Doha Hazan Doiraisa. Because the bracha of Hazan is Doiraisa. And this was Rashi's opinion already that we saw on Amud Aleph. Under no circumstances whatsoever, there is no exception to this rule, Birkas Hazan must always be said. This was Tosis's opinion. Now it's true. In this particular case, he has already heard Hazan. Says Tosis, that doesn't help you. Why does it not help you? Because he continued eating afterwards. Right? Imagine if somebody eats and then he benches and then he begins eating again. So what are you going to say? Well, I've already benched today. So what? But you didn't bench on the food that you're eating now. So how in the world can it help that he heard Hazan first time round? At best, that will patter him from the benching on the first part of food that he ate. But whatever he ate afterwards, how on earth can you not say Hazan? Tosa says, Hazan is deiraisa, non-negotiable, doesn't make sense. Says Tosa, therefore, I have to disagree with Rashi once again, for the third time in the sugya, al korchoch tzorich loima. Therefore, we have to say, we're going to have to explain the sugya differently. The koi, it is referring to a completely different part of the Gemara. It's not referring to the part of the Gemara that Rashi quotes. It's referring to a different part of the Gemara. Which part? The koi, it's referring to Ahod Amrin on Lael, that which we said earlier on, the Hamavarech Oimer, the one who's benching, the Mezamin. What does he say? Nevarech. Nevarech means let us bench. She'ochalnu mishaloi. We have eaten his. We have eaten from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food. Everybody then responds, v'hamasubin, all the people eating will respond, oinim, they say, baruch she'ochalnu mishaloi uv'tuvoi chayinu. Blessed is the one from whom we have eaten his food, ubetuvoy, and it is his goodness that chayinu we are living. What happens next? The Gemara until this stage only told us parts 1 and 2 of the Zimun process. Stage 1 is that whoever's leading the benching says, Nevorech shochalnu mishaloi. Stage 2 is everybody responds and they say, they don't say Nevorech again. They just say, Boruch she'ochalnu mishaloi tovechayinu. That is the picture so far. Question is, what happens next? The Mevorech, who's now ready to resume, what does he say next? That we haven't been told. Says Tosfos, that is the discussion. When it says, Leheichon hu chayzer, that's what it means, Leheichon hu chayzer. Where does he now continue on with his benching? Says Tosfos, Leheichon hu chayzer, meaning Hamavarech. That's our question. Where does the Mavarech go back to? Laachar sheyanu hamasubin, comma. After the masubin have responded to his initial opening. He began with Nevarech Elokeinu, or Nevarech She'ochalnu Mishaloi. They responded with Baruch She'ochalnu Mishaloi Tavachayinu. What does he say next? Chozer L'Roish. The first opinion says he goes back right to the beginning. What does he say? Shamavorech Chozer V'Oimer. He repeats what he says first time round, and he says, Nevorech, just like he said Nevorech first time, he says Nevorech again, but just this time he adds the words Shachalnu Mishaloi Ubatuvoi Chayinu. But once again he says Nevorech. So that's what it means, Chozer L'Roish. He's going back to the beginning. Just like in the beginning he said Nevorech, he will say so second time as well. That is the first opinion. The Rabbonon disagree. The Rabbonon Omri L'Mokim Shaposak. He just goes back to the place that he left off, meaning he does not need to repeat the word Nevorech again. Rabbonon Omri L'Mokim Shaposak. Sha'oimer, what does he say? Baruch She'ochalnu Mishaloi. He does not say Nevorech. V'chein Hilchasa, and then it makes sense to say that is the halacha. Which, by the way, as we all know, that indeed is the halacha, halacha lemaisa. So, as far as Tosis is concerned, if you learn this Gemara, Rashi learns we're talking about one thing, Tosis says we're talking about something else completely. It's a different sugya. According to Tosis, this is not a sugya of two people stopping and one and rejoining and eating, nothing to do with it. What is the discussion? Whoever is the mezamein, the mevorech, having opened with the words mevorech she'ochalnu mishaloi, everybody then responds baruch she'ochalnu mishaloi tvoichayinu. When he now takes it up once again, does he say mevorech again? That's called going back to the beginning. Or does he say baruch she'ochalnu mishaloi, and that is in fact the halacha?
So Tosfos is giving the reason because it's Doraisa.
Correct.
So he's breaking up all of the Doraisas because they all have to be said together?
Yeah. He's not giving extra Hashivas to Hazon over and above Brochas number 2 and 3. He's just saying Hazon is Doraisa, and therefore it cannot be missed out under any circumstances, and we could be rest assured he would say the same about Brochas number 2 and 3 as well.
Can you also say because of the sugi we just learned when brachos are somech on each other, that he's breaking it up in that regard also?
Yeah, but we don't need to come on to that. Brachos being somech on each other is only an issue of can you miss out the word baruch, can you not miss out the word baruch, but there's no precedent for missing out the entire brach. No such thing.
Isn't it kind of strange that Tosfos finds a different issue than Rashi? I mean, Rashi at least says we go back to what we've learned previously. We've never learned this previously. This is like out of the blue.
Big chiddush. I agree. Tosfos's pshat sounds more mechudash. Says Tosfos, I don't know what you want. I have no choice. Rashi's pshat doesn't make any sense. So it's back to the wall. I have no choice. Now, says Tosfos, a third possibility. We've had Rashi's pshat. We've had Tosfos' pshat. Says Tosfos, the horam me'ivra. Pirish. The ram, Rabbeinu Meir, or Rabbeinu Misha, I'm not sure, the ram learns that this is referring to another Gemara which we have learned. Pirish, he explains, the koi, it's referring to something else. The koi, if you remember, we had the Gemara a daf ago, and by the way, we're planning on doing Chazara now, so we're going to go back a little bit. But this is a Gemara that we have definitely learned, and the Gemara says, Ashloisha she'ochlu ve'yotza echod mehem l'shuk. We learned this actually last Zman, which was last year. three people ate together, about to do a zimun, and one left. They summons him back. If you remember, we said that he doesn't need to come all the way back. It's enough just if he stands by the door. Koyrim loy, they call him back, umazamnin olov. Ula'el nami hochi pirushoy. And this is what this means. Ad heichon mokoim zimun. Ad heichon mokoim zimun means shetzorich lehu la'oisoy echod. In Amud Aleph, remember we had ad heichon zimun. Our sugya is called Leheichon Choyzer. But in Amud Aleph, we had a sugya called Adheichon Zimun. And Adheichon Zimun, we saw a terrific machloikas between Rashi and Tosus. What is the discussion? Here comes now a third pshat in Amud Aleph and Mamela in Amud Beis. Leheichon Hu Zimun, says the Ram, means it's going back on that case when one person left, and then he was summoned back, please rejoin us because we would like to do a zimun. No problem. How long does he have to stand there for? He's desperate to go on his way. Says Tosfos, ad heichon mokim zimun. What does that mean? Shetzarech lehu lo'oisei echod. How long do we need this particular individual there? Dekoru lei, having called him, va'oni. And now he's going to respond, comma. How long does he have to stand there? He's desperate. He's desperate to go. He's in a big rush. Ad nevorech. So until nevorech, omikan ve'eilech, and after that, yeilech ledarkoi. He can go on his way. Ve'enom strichim ho'acherim. The others do not need oid letzirufoi. We do not need him anymore for his combination to the zim. We don't need him. So again, what did it say on Amud Aleph? On Amud Aleph, the Gemara said, Ad heichon zimun, one opinion says Nevorech, one opinion says Hazon. So the way that the Ram will learn that Gemara is, we're talking about the case where the third person is in a rush to leave. In fact, he has left. He's being recalled. So how long does he have to stand there for? Does he have to stand there for the whole benching, part of benching? The answer is, he definitely does not need to be there for the whole benching. Either just till Nevorech or till Hazon, and then he can be subsequently dismissed. V'hocha boi, and now our Gemara is the follow-up of that Gemara. Lo'oi soy min hashuk. Now we're talking about this fellow who is desperate to go on his travels. Leheichon hu choizer. Where does he go back to? Lemokoim shepostak. Tahainu lemar mehazon ve'eleich ulemar minavareich. According to one opinion, that will mean that he goes back to Hazon. According to one opinion, he'll go back right to the beginning. Vahashten nicha. The loy kasha mehazon. And now it's very good. We don't have a kasha anymore that we asked on Rashi. What was the big kasha on Rashi? The big kasha on Rashi was, how can Rashi learn that he's going to resume after Hazon, but he carried on eating? That was the big kasha. According to the Ram, according to the way he learns, that question is not a question at all. Why? Because we're not talking about it. He resumed his eating at all. He just went back on his path. That's what Tosa says. Loi kosher mehazon, shari loi sofar bein tayin. Not sure what loi sofar means, but I would have said shari loi ochal. He didn't eat anything in the interim. So it's just a question. He's been recalled. And he definitely heard the brocha, let's say, of Hazon. So when he goes now back on his way, because he's in a big rush, so will he have to say Hazon again or not? But if you tell me that he does not need to say Hazon again, says Tosfos, I can live with that. That's no problem. Why? Because he never resumed his eating. My only problem that I had was with Rashi. Because Rashi learns that the Gemara is talking about that he began eating again. Says Tosfos, that I don't understand. If he began eating again, so how on earth can he be exempted from saying Hazon second time round? But according to the Ram, we're not talking about that he began eating again. He was recalled, he heard Hazon, and then he left. So then we say, fine, so when he resumes his benching on his train journey, he should just resume from Hazon. No problem at all.
Hazon as opposed to what? No death?
As opposed, no, Hazon, at the end of Hazon means no death. As opposed to Navarich, which means go back to the beginning of benching. Hazon means you begin from the end of Hazon, from the second benching, Noida Lecha.
Okay, so the question is from the beginning of Hazon or the end of Hazon?
Right. Okay. So when we say Navarich, we mean from the beginning of benching, and Hazon means you begin from after Hazon. Quite right.
Yeah, Navarich does not mean Zeman.
Right, because no Zeman, he's already done it. Right, okay. He's in the beginning. Okay. Quite good. Okay. Because we've now learned quite a considerable amount, Baruch Hashem, from the beginning of the Perek, as is our way, every daf and a half or so, we do Chazorah. So I'd like to do a quick Chazorah from the beginning of the Perek, which is always a very, very important part of our project. So it's from daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph. We've learned Mem Hei Amud Aleph on the base, Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and part of Mem Vav on the base. It's a daf and a half of Chazorah. Let's at least make a Haschola today. As we always do, we're going to go fairly quickly. If it's too quick, then please stop me. Says the Mishnah, Shloisha She'ochlu Ka'achas. That was a $64 million question. What does it mean, Ka'achas? Three people eating together, Chayovin Lezamin. Ochal Demai. Umay Sarishan She'nitla Trumosoi. Umay Sarishan, which you give to a Levi, he's then Mukhiyev to take Truma to a Kohen, and he has done so. Maisa Sheni Vehektish Sheniftu, which have been redeemed, if you're allowed to eat it. Vaha Shamash and the waiter, Shaochal Kazais, Vaha Kuti, Mezamnin Olov. All of those people can be included in the Zimun because they are permissible. The food they are eating is permissible. But Ochal Tevel, but if you eat Tevel, you're not allowed to eat. Umaisarishan Shaloi Litla Trumosai, or Maisa Sheni Vehektish Shaloi Niftu. Or v'hashamash she'ochal pochal mikazayis, or v'hanochri, or a goy, in mezamnilov, they cannot be incorporated. So the first rule in the Mishnah, where it says if you eat something which is osa, you cannot be incorporated in a zimun. If you remember, we saw various explanations of why that is. I think we saw machloikas, Rashi, and Tosfos. Rashi called it a bracha ba'aveira. A bracha ba'aveira. But if one of them is eating an aveira, then it's inappropriate to now make a bracha, including him. Tosfos learned differently. Okay. Noshim va'avodim v'ktanim ein mezamnin aleihem. We do not make a zimun forming noshim, avodim or ktanim. Ad kamo mezamnin. How much do you have to eat in order to mechuyev? Ad kazayis, rebudayim ad kebeitza. All of that we will come back to. We have not learned the Gemara. It's coming up later on. Says the Gemara, mem hei mem mino hanamili. Where is the source for the whole concept of Zimun? Omar Rav Asi, Omar Kro. It's a posuk in Parashas, in Tehillim, excuse me. Gadlu lashem iti unaremamo shema yachtov. So Gadlu Lashemiti, Gadlu is the plural. Greaten, the two of you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name with me. So I'm the third. You're the first and the second. There's three altogether. Unarema Moshmo Yachtov. And we will exalt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name together. Rebavo Oimer Mehochet. Learn from somewhere else. This is a pasuk in Parshas Ha'azinu. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Havu, again the plural, you should give, the one is addressing the two, Goydel, Leloikenu, attribute greatness to our God. Omer Chanan Ba'aba Minayin, La'oina Amen. How do you know that somebody who's answering Amen, Shaloi Yagbia Koiloi, Yoser Minamavarech, your Amen should never be louder than the one who made the bracha in the first place, Shanema. Gadlu Lashem Iti Unarema Moshemoi Yachtov. Yachtov means together. It's not considered together if the Amen is louder than the bracha. Omer Rav Shimon ben Pazi minayin she'ein hametargim. Remember in the old days, they used to have a metargim, a translator, as well as the Baal Kairi. So how do you know that the metargim is not allowed in Rashoi lahagbia koiloi? How do you know that the translator cannot lift up, raise his voice? Yosem in akoire shenema, Moshe yedaber, v'ho Elohim ya'anenu b'koil. Now, what does that mean? She'ein Talmud loyma b'koil. Why does it need to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded b'koil? Uma Talmud loyma b'koil? B'koiloi shel Moshe. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Moshe Rabbeinu b'koil with an equal sounding tone. So both the koire and the translator, as it were, have the same type of tone. One should not be louder than the other. Tanya nami hochi. So too, we have learned this in a brice as well. Eina metargim rashoi lahagbia koilo yoise min hakoire. The translator should not raise his voice more than the koire. Ve'im efshe lemetargim lahagbia koilo keneged hakoire. And if the metargim cannot raise his voice to be of equal to the Baal Koire, then Yuma'e Chakoire Koile VeYikra. Then to the contrary, then the Baal Koire should lower his voice. So if it's too high pitched a voice or too loud, and the metargim says, "I'm sorry, I just cannot compete with that," so then the Baal Koire should lower his tone such that the metargim can respond on an equal tone. Itma. Shnayim she'ochlu ka'achas. Remember we had a shayla? Two people, no shayla. Two people are definitely not mukhuyev in zimun, but the question is, can they do zimun? They're definitely not mukhuyev. There's only a chiyev if there's three. But what happens if they are two? Are they allowed to? Shnayim she'ochlu ka'achas pligi rav v'rabi yechana. Chad omar im rotzu lezamin. If they wanted to, albeit they're not obligated because there's no three, but if they wanted to, mezamnin. V'chad omar that no such thing. In rotzu lezamin, ein mezamnin. Machlokes. So let's try and bring proofs. Tanan, we have a Mishnah that says, our Mishnah, shloisha she'ochlu ka'achas chayovin lezamin, quote unquote. So doesn't that seem to show that shloisha in, but shnayim loy? Says the Gemara, it's no proof. Because hosam chayva. There the Mishnah is discussing how many people do you need for there to be an obligation. An obligation has to be three. Ocha rishus. Here we're talking about to volunteer. When you're not mukhiyev. So it's true the Mishnah mentioned three because you definitely do need three for there to be an obligation. What we're discussing is when there's no obligation, can you offer, can you volunteer your own zimun? You cannot bring a proof from the Mishnah. Tal Shema, says the Gemara, let's try and bring another proof. Shloisha she'ochlu ka'achas. Chayovin lezamin. Three people who eat together have to be mezamin. Ve'ein rashoin lechalek, and they must not split up. You must not break the zimun. Shloisha in. It sounds like only three people. That's when this halacha refers to. However, shnayim loy, but it does not refer to two, and that two have no problem at all, and they are allowed to split up. Says the Gemara, yes, Shani Hosam, the Kavu Lu B'chayva Meikara, because there they established a chiyuv, meaning once three people eat and an obligation has been created, then you must not break the chiyuv. Once the chiyuv has taken effect, don't break it. How will you break it? By parting company, so don't do that. But in the case of two, there was never a chiyuv created. Even if you say that you're allowed to do zimun, as we said before, but nobody said that two people are obligated. So if two people are sitting together and one says, finished, I've had enough, I'm going, no problem at all. Why is there no problem at all? Because you're not breaking any chiyuv, because there is no chiyuv. That's not our discussion. Our discussion is it a rishus? Is it allowed? So we have no proof from there either. Says the Gemara Toshema, let's try and bring another proof. Hashamash shahoyo meshamesh al hashnayim. If you have a shamash, a waiter, who is waitering for two harize oichel imohem afal pishalei nosulei rishus. You can eat with them their food, even though they didn't give him expressive permission. Hoya mashamish al hashloisha. But if you're waiting for three people, harize eino oichel imohem elohim kein nosulei rishus. Now, what's the difference between three and two? In the case of three, they don't need him because they have a zimun. If you've got no right to assume that you could just help yourself to their food, because they don't, who says they want you to eat if you need permission? But in the case of two, there it says the shamish can eat. Now, the question is why? Why can you automatically assume that they're going to allow me to partake in your food in order to have a zimun? But if you hold that two is enough for a zimun, then once again, they don't need me. So if in the case of three, I cannot eat, surely I should say the same for two as well. They don't need me. Says the Gemara, no. Shani hasam denicha lohu, demikvi lohu b'chayva. You're right, they don't need him because they could have a zimun with two. But they do need him if they want to establish a chiyuv. And it's better to do zimun, like it is better to do any mitzvah. We have a principle, godol hamatzuva v'oisa. So yes, in theory, they could do a zimun without the third, but then it wouldn't be an obligation. So if you're allowed to assume that probably they want you to eat the food, and then there's three people altogether, and then there really will be an obligation to do zimun, yes, that is a fair assumption. Where there are three people already, then they really don't need you. Because without you, there already is a choiva of zimun. But over here, where there's only two, it's true, it may well be that they're allowed to do zimun, but they would prefer to have an obligation of zimun. Because they would prefer to have an obligation, you are allowed to assume that they want you to eat the food, and that way a chiyuv will be created. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Mr. Hashem will resume our chazara tomorrow. We'll do it quickly, so we'll try and finish off tomorrow in the session. Okay, have a great day. Thank you in Beit Shemesh. Enjoy Beit Shemesh.